You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared to discuss with you. We definitely have a lot happening in the world of football. Mike is very excited.
Yeah.
With football season starting, we definitely have a lot of news to cover there. And then have some other interesting entertainment news in the entertainment entree. And then we're going to do a recap of some of our favorite odd news stories in the non-fortune cookie odd news. We definitely have a lot of show, a lot of ground to cover on this show. But before we do, we'd like to do a little recap. A little personal recap what we've been up to. We've been off for some time. Mike, how you doing over there?
I'm good. So, to catch everybody up, we haven't recorded the past 2 weeks because I was taking a little bit of break, recovering from a little bit of surgery that I had. All is well
just
there.
Just a little bit.
Just throw that out there. Just a little bit.
A little bit of surgery.
No, all is going well. It's nothing serious, nothing major. But I am on the mend, and we figured that it was time to get back behind the mics and start recording again.
Yeah. I think you even remarked this was like the longest period of time that we hadn't seen each other, probably since we started the podcast.
Probably in like four or five years. Yeah, we haven't seen each other in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I was like, man, where's Rich? But no, we got back together finally, and we set up the equipment, and we're ready to get back to it, if I can remember how to do this, Rich. Because, if it's more than a week, I completely forget everything.
Whoops.
Yeah. No, just straight out the window. So I've been recovering. During my recovery time, I was able to replay BioShock Infinite in its entirety.
Great game.
Which, I got to tell you, man, it still holds up. It hasn't aged well in terms of graphics and gameplay mechanics. Like, clicking in the analog stick to aim is very last generation. But I'll be damned if it doesn't have one of the best stories and some of the coolest narrative concepts in the previous generation.
Ken Levine's BioShock games are just the best.
I mean,
they're so good.
When you talk about generation-defining games, two right there, BioShock and BioShock Infinite, they define the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 generation perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, they're just monumental titles. Everybody should play them. I was lucky enough to get to replay that. I also started watching a show that was recommended to me by Rachel, Misfits. I watched two episodes of that. I'm sure she'll be happy to hear about that.
There you go.
It was.
She recommended it to you on your recovery time.
She did, yes, for my surgery playlist. And I got to tell you, it was a very, very interesting first two episodes. I'm going to continue watching at least the first season, see how it all plays out. It really does a good job of hooking you. The characters aren't immediately likable. They're all sort of like grating in the beginning, but they're, not to spoil anything, but they're, I guess, delinquents, kids that have run afoul of the law. And so they're sort of annoying and sort of, problematic. But that makes their whole situation much more interesting when they get these special powers that they didn't want and didn't ask for. And now they're trying to figure out, how their powers came about and how they can use them. And there's this whole I don't want to give away too much cover-up that they have to deal with, that they get embroiled in. So it did a very good job of hooking me, and I'm eager to continue with that show.
Okay.
So
there you go.
So I've been catching up on some of my required viewing and playing. Rich, what have you been up to in your 3 weeks of not recording?
Okay.
I have a lot to catch up on.
I do. But something that was interesting, and this also comes from Rachel, was I finally sat down and watched the entire Firefly series.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's been telling me that, you love Star Wars, you're going to love Firefly and everything like that. So I was like, all right, I got to give it a shot. It's you know, it's science fiction,
right?
But it has a Western spin on it, which is interesting.
Right. And I've never seen it, but I've always wanted to. My hang up is the fact that it never really ends. So tell me, Rich, how did you enjoy it? And the fact that it just sort of like,
yeah, the last episode, which is the inadvertently the series finale, because Fox apparently didn't think it was going to be a great series, is a little disappointing.
Oh,
but the meat of most of the episodes are fantastic.
Really?
And okay. It's funny because a lot of people were saying, oh, if you like Star Wars, you're like this. Actually, I would say it had more of a Mass Effect kind of feel.
Oh, that's perfect.
Because the stories that are in each episode of Firefly really are about they're character intensive.
Okay.
They focus more on what's happening with the crew, the relationships with the crew. It has that feel that you need to know the crew before you can understand what's happening in the story.
Does it take like that narrative structure of like each episode is a crew member type thing? Like Lost did that. I don't know if you watched Lost.
Not to the extent that Lost did it, but there still is an emphasis on the relationships with the crew.
Okay. That's good. Character-driven stories are always a plus.
Right. And I think that's why people have loved it. I think that's why it has a cult following, because it really didn't matter that it was in sci-fi, you know.
Right.
You could have placed these same characters on a boat,
right?
You know, in the middle of the sea, and it would have been still as addicting. It was more about their relationships and how they react to the different problems they run into on their course throughout space. And then there's a little bit of a Western element because there's outlaws, there's people that aren't
right.
You know, that work outside the boundaries of legality and the government and everything like that.
It's strange, but Western and sci-fi always pair well.
Yeah.
You see that pairing a lot in terms of sci-fi subgenres.
Right. And Firefly is no different. So it was good. I really enjoyed it. And I would pair it with Mass Effect. If you like So I'm going to say this to everybody. If you like Mass Effect, you're like Firefly. If you like Firefly, you're like Mass Effect.
Well, I loved Mass Effect, so sounds like I got to give Firefly a shot then.
Yeah. And then on a spinoff note, which is kind of spins off on it, the lead actor in that, in Firefly, is Nathan Fillion.
Right.
And last month, he did a acting gig on YouTube where he portrayed Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
I saw that.
Oh, my God.
People have been asking for him to be cast in that movie.
Why is that not a slam dunk? That looks so good.
Sony's movie studios are stupid.
I know.
I mean, that's the only logical reason I could come up with for them not casting him.
Like, first off, that 15-minute YouTube adaptation of Uncharted is brilliant. They captured the feeling of Uncharted so well in that 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
And then for me personally, to go back and watch Firefly and see him like develop as an actor, I don't understand why this is not like a slam. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
This is literally an idea handed on a silver plate to Sony.
Yeah.
Here you go. And they're not going to do anything with
it. I think he fits the role really well. And it upsets me that Sony's movie studios are so off target with the casting and direction of their movies. They had Mark Wahlberg slated to play Nathan Drake at one point.
Ugh.
Yeah, let that ring around in your head.
How's your mother?
Right. It just seems...
Hi, I'm Nathan Drake. How's your mother?
Oh, my God. Please.
Yo, here's this coin. Here's this coin I found here. How's your mother?
I don't know what movie you're doing.
No, it was a Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you never saw that?
No, I don't think so.
They made fun of Mark Wahlberg, that like he kind of has that kind of like goonish mentality.
Yeah.
And like, who was it? It was Sandberg. Sandberg plays Mark Wahlberg, and he ends like every conversation with like, say hi to your mother for me. How's your mother doing?
Yeah, that would be Nathan Drake in Uncharted. Yeah. If Sony's original casting and
God, really?
Yeah, I think they've that movie's never coming out. So
that's
we don't have to worry about it. But it's still in development.
That would be a shirt. You could.
It is a modern day Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
With much higher production values.
And you could if you wanted to leave out some of the more mature things. You could make that PG-13, and really, really wouldn't lose the crux of the character.
The games are barely M-rated.
Right.
I don't even think they are M-rated.
If they are, it's probably because there's a couple of, like, you know, sex.
Not really.
There's romance, but there's not really sex.
I think the most...
Maybe because of the violence?
There's a lot of killing. You do kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have that in the movie.
Right.
You can have them kill...
You can water it down to PG-13 and not lose the spirit. This isn't Bioshock.
No.
Bioshock, you have to be an R-rated movie.
Bioshock is you're ripping slugs out of little girls' stomachs. There's no way you're getting by with a PG-13 rating.
Right. But Uncharted can be
PG-13. You can go the whole Star Wars and Marvel route and not show any blood whatsoever and kill as many people as you want to. Because you know the Avengers killed all of New York in that fight.
What?
In the first Avengers. Everybody dead. Everybody dead. Not a drop of blood. PG-13. Movie logic.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a slam dunk safe bet for Sony if they could just get their ducks in a row and figure out what they want to do.
Yeah, but they're
instead,
not
they're
do
like,
it.
Let's get Danny DeVito to play Sully and Mark Wahlberg to play...
Is that true?
I think it was at one point.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Why are we not in charge of movies?
I don't know. We should be, though. Yeah. Sony, if you're listening...
You suck. Come on.
Well, hey, don't criticize our future employers that badly, Rich.
Come on, man.
I know.
Just right there. It's a silver platter right there.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do it. Anyway. That inadvertently turned into a What's Pissing Me Off segment.
I know, right?
Anyway.
Yeah. You got to get the banjo out.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's too late for that.
Yeah, it's too late for that. And plus, we have a lot of other news to get to.
Yes, we do.
Especially in the sports realm. It's time to launch into our first segment. Time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of sports news to cover. Mike's going to be happy because most of it revolves around football. So let's launch into it. Time for the first part of it, which is the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. 2 minutes on the clock to hit a couple topics starting right now. What do you have, Mike?
All right. Well, first up, I'm really excited because everything is football related. And the first football related item centers around former Eagles outside linebacker Michael Kendricks, who was during the offseason signed with the Cleveland Browns. But he was recently cut by the Browns after being charged with, get ready for it, insider trading.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I have to admit here, this is at least a really unique charge for a football player. You usually don't see insider trading pop up. But let me tell you something. Kendricks made nearly $1.2 million in illegal profits on 4 major investments.
What a shocker!
It really is, and that is a lot of money. He issued a statement apologizing for his actions, but I don't think that's going to save him from any sort of penalty because attorneys are saying that he could face substantial prison time if he's convicted.
Oh, yeah. This, you do not get away from the feds.
Oh, no. White-collar crimes, they take that stuff seriously.
Yep.
And it's really a shame, though, because I think that he was a legitimately decent football player, you know, in the middle of the prime of his career, and he just... It's all gone now.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I gotta admit, though, when he was with the Eagles, it always seemed like he wanted to be traded or cut, so...
Yeah, he
know.
Wasn't really all the way there. I mean, he was great on the field, though.
Yeah.
But
it felt like it was all for his own purpose.
Oh, he was busy making Wall Street bets.
They said he was using Eagles tickets.
Yeah, as like
bribes.
Bribes. Oh, boy.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I hope the Eagles don't get dragged into this. But speaking of the Eagles, we do have a little bit of Eagles news here. To absolutely no one's surprise, the Philadelphia Eagles announced that they will be starting quarterback Nick Foles over the not medically cleared Carson Wentz in their opening game against the Falcons. It must have been a really tough call for the coaching staff to go with their Super Bowl MVP over a player who is not medically cleared to play. We're just glad this suspenseful mystery is over.
Go, Nick Foles!
I don't know why it was such a mystery to begin with.
Well, I think the idea was a lot of... I think everybody was hoping that Wentz was going to be ready for week one. So I think it was
but he wasn't medically cleared.
Not a shocker, but I think it was just a little like... Okay. Well, all right, we'll go with Foles.
But he wasn't medically cleared. He's not going to play if he's not medically cleared.
No, but I think people were just hoping that
they're just hoping against hope.
Right, was going to
be. Who knows, maybe he'll be medically cleared. Maybe you're listening to this right now and they're like, "Guess what? Boom. Medically cleared."
Well, here, you know what? Here's the thing. The Eagles kind of are lucky that they're the opening game because they actually have now 10 days after the opening game to get ready for the second game.
That's true.
So they have a longer period of time to get ready for game number two. Maybe by that time, Wentz is ready.
Maybe. We'll see. We all want him to come back, but I think we're all in agreement when we say that we want him back at 100%, you know, not at 90%. I mean, even though he's probably better than most quarterbacks at 90%, you don't want to risk re-injuring anything.
No, especially for
this early in his career, you don't want to pull an RG3 and play an entire game on, you know.
Noodles.
Yeah, exactly. No, not good.
Damn you, Shanahan.
God. I get it. Okay, he won like a Super Bowl or two, didn't he? But that dude was not a good coach.
Oh, Mike Shanahan,
Senior? If you look at his career after that, what did he do? Nothing.
Yeah.
He broke quarterbacks and teams wherever he went.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the whole, Jeff Fisher argument.
What about Jeff Fisher? Jeff Fisher was mediocre
wasn't he the eight,
all the
wasn't
time.
Wasn't he the 8-8 guy?
Yeah, every season he finished like 8-8.
Yeah, he had like one good season and then like, oh my God, he's great because he's been around forever. But he finished every season 8-8.
Right.
Well, so it's that argument. Shanahan
won
two
games.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of teams that would love to win 8 games.
Yeah, Browns.
Yeah. Hey, man, they're going to be on the up and up. You watch. You watch.
What, by that, you mean like they're going to win 3 games?
Ooh. Hey, that's an improvement.
Yes, it is, technically. Dear
technically,
God.
Anything. Technically, if they have a good meal after a game, that's an improvement over last year.
Dear God.
The bar set very low.
How about we set the bar? Yeah, we got to set the bar higher here. Because there's some NFL moves that happened in the past week. The first one also revolves around a former Eagle.
Yeah.
Brent Celek has officially announced his retirement. I think this is probably a good move for him.
Yeah.
11 years with the team. Going out on top after winning the Super Bowl with the team.
No better way to retire from football.
Yeah. I mean, this is perfect. He'll be known as a Philly legend.
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say he will be a Philadelphia legend. I mean, in our lifetime, when you go back and look at the tight ends the Eagles have had just during our prime football years, nobody really jumps out before Brent Celek.
Yeah.
You know, Chad Lewis, okay. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
But Brent Celek was like really, he was an emotional pulse to that offense when there was nobody else out there, you know, contributing. And he stuck with it through a couple of different coaching changes. One of the longest tenured Eagles on the team when they won the Super Bowl. It just sucks to see him go, you know?
Yeah.
He did get other offers from other teams, but he said that it never felt right. And I love to hear that from former players, you know, that they love the team so much.
Yeah, it's not just about the money.
Right. No, it's about the organization and the city and the fans. And you love to see that. And you could tell Brent Celek loved playing here. He had a lot of fun here. He was such a key part of that offense. You know, when his receiving role diminished, he came in as one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. We never had to, you know, question his drive and his effort. You know, he facing off against top defensive ends and linebackers and helping us have one of the top rushing attacks last year. That is, I think people are not going to realize the gap he filled until he's gone now this year.
Yeah, but I think it's very important that we have Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, he's going to be good
for that second round pick.
Yeah,
I mean that is definitely somebody that will, I think, be able to fulfill the role Brent Celek had in that offense.
Yeah, because they peg him like a Zach Ertz, Brent Celek type. So
right.
That's what we need.
But for right now, Brent Celek, we salute you, especially for not going to another team. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very rare to see one player play for one team.
Yeah,
in
anymore.
Today's NFL, yeah.
And that leads us to the topic of Khalil Mack.
Oh, yes.
We had to
bring this one up.
This is earth-shattering.
Oh, yes. The Oakland Raiders traded all-pro offensive outside linebacker Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears in a blockbuster deal right before the season opener. Rich, let me tell you,
this is ridiculous because
this
leading
is
up,
crazy.
Leading up to this, the Raiders kept saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's too late. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And then I guess Chucky or somebody was just like, nope, let's do it.
Yep. Yeah, this is definitely, I think it took everybody by surprise. The Raiders, the Bears, I think everybody involved was just kind of shocked that this actually happened. Let me tell you exactly what each team got, because everybody listening is going to make you go even crazier over this. The Raiders, for Khalil Mack. They got two first-round picks, 2019 and 2020, a third-round pick in 2020, and a sixth-round pick in 2019. The Bears got, of course, Khalil Mack, a second-round pick, and a conditional fifth-round pick. This is just huge amounts of draft picks swapping teams here. This is crazy. Basically swapping draft boards. Two first-round picks. Rich, do you think that the Bears are hindering themselves by giving up that much for one player?
I think
so. You're
because...
looking at two firsts and a third. That is a high asking price for a linebacker, defensive end hybrid.
Right. I think the Bears are really selling the future right here, because that pretty much guarantees that, you know, you're not going to be able to get any sort of, you know, significant talent the next two seasons.
Right.
That's huge for the Bears. I think it's more telling, though, for the Raiders. For them to be willing to give up Khalil Mack for two future first-round picks, to me, that signifies that the Raiders aren't going to give a damn until they're moving to Vegas.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Sorry, Oakland, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. The dream is dead. I mean, really, that's what that says. That the Raiders are going to focus all their efforts for when they move to Las Vegas, and that's when they're going to.
But it's crazy, though. Don't you want marquee players like Khalil Mack to bring new fans in?
No, you want to have as much buzz when they make the move to Vegas. Davis is nuts. All right, the owner for the Raiders.
Yeah,
he is absolutely nuts.
This is the son you're referring to, because
he thinks that Oakland has screwed him because they never offered enough money to plunker down for a new stadium in Oakland, and I feel like he's just sick and tired of the city. And he just wants to get his team and get to Vegas as soon as possible.
So he's just going to blow it up in the process.
He's going to blow up any semblance of Oakland Raiders this season, so that when they move to Vegas, they have all of the glitz and glamour that they need when they finally make the move. They'll have the first round picks. They're, you know, that's when they'll have all of the buzz surrounding the team.
Yeah.
To me, it's actually kind of a screw you to Oakland. I hate to say it.
You see, I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but at the same time, he's also screwing his franchise by giving away. Well, I mean, I don't know. I say he's screwing the franchise, but he, you know, 2 years in a row now, they're going to have two first-round picks. That's huge. If the picks pan out. You know, that's always the risk with trading for draft picks.
The second thing this tells me, though, is also that the Oakland Raiders could absolutely never afford the extension that Khalil Mack was probably going to line up for, and then the Bears actually signed up for.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you hear what type of deal he was after and the Bears gave him, the Raiders could have never afforded this. 6 years, $141 million. Now, $90 million of that is guaranteed, and $60 million of that was due at signing.
Yeah.
This is a... By the way, linebacker defensive end. This is not a quarterback.
By the way, that's an extension.
Yeah, that's an extension.
So Khalil Mack is now wrapped up with Chicago for the next seven seasons.
That is insane. For a defensive player, now, you know, usually you don't see these types of deals unless, like, you know, you're like some court. Like, we're getting to quarterback type money here.
Yeah.
For this defensive end. Are the Bears hurting their future by locking up $90 million in Khalil Mack?
I think so, especially when you combine that with the fact they don't have the first-round picks. I mean, I really hope that they're confident with Trubisky, because I don't know how else they're going to have weapons come into their system.
Right. You see the Bears on the verge of turning things around with this new quarterback, and they're like, well, we're just going to sink $100 million into one defensive player. Their defense is getting older, I think. They need to bring in new talent, but they're just sold two drafts worth of picks for this guy as well. So you're hurting yourself in the monetary sense and in the ability to bring in new talent.
The
other thing, this is a slight spin-off tangent. Okay. Do you think NFL teams, do you think we're going to get to a point where the type of guaranteed money teams are shelling out is going to hinder the growth of the league? Because in my mind, as an Eagles fan, I'm thinking, what is Carson Wentz going to command, and how is that going to affect our ability to reliably sign talent around him?
Oh yeah,
because if he comes out and he's like, "I want $180 million," that's like half the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, the Eagles are going to give it to him because he's franchise.
You have to.
Yeah,
but at some point, are we going to reach a tipping point where, because we've had story? I don't know if we covered it, but Saquon Barkley what was it, like $30 million guaranteed as a rookie?
Right.
There was another one, Sam Darnold, all this money guaranteed as a rookie. We're going to get to a point where it's unfeasible for teams to afford all this?
At that point, yeah, there's going to be an issue with either the collective bargaining agreement or the salary cap. Yeah, you're going to run into that problem sooner or later.
Yeah, I just worry because the Eagles are on the forefront of my mind, and I worry what this is going to spell for players like Brandon Graham, for players like Carson Wentz,
yep.
You know, for players like Jay Ajayi. All these players need to be re-signed in the next 1 or 2 years, I think. It's problematic. Yeah. It's problematic. And these players, I don't want to say, you know, don't go get that money because good for you, Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
But at the same
Dinner's on you.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're making things much more difficult for other teams. Namely the Eagles. I don't care about anybody else, just the Eagles. That's where my mindset's at right now. Did you have anything else with the trade?
Well, yeah. So on the flip side, though, the Bears all of a sudden, I feel, now have a legitimate contention now for the division. That NFC North division right now is up in the air as far as I'm concerned.
Aaron Rodgers just went, what the hell?
Yeah.
Because the Bears had a top 10 defense without Khalil Mack.
Right. Now with him, uh-oh.
Are they in win-now mode?
The Bears? I don't think so.
No?
Because their offense is still shoddy.
They just killed their ability to draft for the next 2 years.
They did. They still need... They're
going to try and build through free agency? What's the plan
here? They're going to have to. Trubisky's not yet at Super Bowl level.
You don't make... You don't make that type of buy without thinking you can make a playoff push.
Maybe.
There's no way you sink $141 million into a trade if you don't... If you're not thinking win now.
Maybe next year. I don't see the...
Well, win now, I mean like a 2-3 year window.
Oh, yeah. I think every team's on that now. For the NFL, it's definitely a league now of what have you done for me lately.
Yeah.
It is... You have to be almost in some sort of positioning to make a Super Bowl push, or at least the argument that you're going to make a Super Bowl push...
Every year.
Every 2 to 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, because I after 2019, the Bears...
Unless you're the Bengals.
Well, Bengals and the Browns.
Yeah, they just stick with the same coach no matter what happens and just be like, F it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
He wins 10 games a year. Let's keep him on.
Well, that's the Marvin Lewis argument.
Yeah.
They win 9 to 10 games a season, they sneak into the playoffs, and they lose the first game.
I mean, on one hand, you know how hard it is to find a coach.
It is.
So you're like, well, 10 games where we could go risk it on this young college coach, you know? I'm going to take the 10-win coach.
But he always loses the playoff game? I don't know. You know your ceiling.
Yeah.
It
sells tickets. Yeah, yeah. That's what everybody accused Jeffrey Lurie of. It sells tickets, so what does he matter?
But then we
got ours, so.
But that's because we went with a new direction with a new head coach.
Yep, that's true.
Doug Peterson. So, I don't know.
I just think after 2019, the Bears are screwed.
Especially with all this money being dealt.
Like, if it's not this year or next year, they're going to be in trouble.
Yep. But I'll tell you what, does make the Bears formidable now. It does. The Eagles play them, I think, this year.
I'm calling it right now. I think we do.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now, though. That division is going to be completely up for grabs this year.
Yeah.
Every year I say the Packers are a terrible team. The Packers are a terrible team.
If
Aaron Rodgers can't save this team again this year, but you look at, you know, as I was researching teams, because we're going to be doing our Fantastic Four pick later in the segment, but I was looking at teams and I'm looking at their stats. I'm like, good God, how did they do anything last year?
Well, yeah, because
they're ranked in the bottom quarter of the league in every measurable.
Yeah, because they didn't have Aaron Rodgers.
They are a legitimately terrible team. Without Aaron Rodgers, he is the sole thing holding that. He is the duct tape holding that thing, holding that raft together, floating on those dangerous waters up in those Great Lakes.
And now he's going to be under pressure from Khalil Mack twice a season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Yeah.
Fun times in Green Bay.
We'll get to it in the Fantastic Four picks.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we will.
That game could be interesting. But before we do that,
you had something.
There's kind of a new segment that I want to try out for this season.
Okay.
And that's because I love to do fantasy football. Bruno's doing fantasy football this year.
Yes, he is. You can consider that train wreck of a draft fantasy football.
Yes. So I figured we just do a quick segment now for the rest of the season where I give you some quick fantasy advice. Oh, yeah. Figure I'd bring out some different music.
Nice.
Some NFL primetime music. Because you know what, for fantasy football, you know, it kind of gets a little serious, you know, especially if you got some money on the line, you know, you want
to. I hear enough about it from you to know that it is deadly serious.
You know, you want to at least know what you're doing. Yeah. So hopefully by now your draft is over and you've drafted smartly, and hopefully you've got some depth at running back and wide receiver. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes you don't. And maybe you went a little too heavy on wide receiver. Maybe you went a little too heavy with running backs. Make sure that on your bench, you've got those players that you're using as what I like to call lottery tickets. You know,
explain what you mean by that, lottery tickets.
So basically like a backup, in case the starter goes down. So for example, right now the big hype in the fantasy world, is that the starting running back for the 49ers, Jerick McKinnon, went down on a last-second injury on practice last Saturday. So in your league right now, if you don't have a lottery ticket, make sure you pick up either Alfred Morris or Matt Breda, the backup running backs, because for the first game of the season, they'll probably be splitting carries, but chances are one of them is going to emerge as probably the favorite as the lead back. And if that happens, guess what? You got yourself a starting running back right there, right then and there. You didn't waste a draft pick on it.
On a team that will likely lean on the running game because they want to take pressure off Garoppolo.
That's right. So just want to, for my week one advice, is make sure that you have some sort of lottery ticket in your bench. You know, not just straight up, you know, obviously you want depth. You want to have your, you know, a good wide receiver four or a good running back three. But you want to have one or two just backup. You know, you never know. Just maybe the star
backup,
goes
backup
down. Yeah. Or even the backup to Steelers.
Le'Veon Bell.
Bell. He hasn't reported to practice as of the time of this recording.
He's not going to play. He's not going to play.
If one of the Pittsburgh running back backups haven't been scooped up, I'd
there
say that's a worthy, you know, just somebody to stash.
I feel bad for all those people that took Le'Veon Bell number one overall.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough pill to swallow if he decides, you know what, I'm just going to sit the season.
Oh, the fantasy world goes crazy.
Oh, man.
So there you go. That's my recommendation for week one. Make sure you have one or two of those nice little lottery picks. And, you know, obviously, if it doesn't pan out, drop them and, you know, pick up somebody else. But, yeah, you never know. I think it's important that you do it right off the bat while nobody is expecting them to do anything yet, because that's when you can really grab some good raw talent.
Yeah.
So make sure you scour anybody that wasn't drafted in your league and make sure you pick them up.
Keep an eye on the injury line. On the injury news.
That's right. So there you go. A quick little fantasy advice for you for week number one. And I think it would be fun. We'll do it every week.
Yeah, see I what like I can... it. I love the music.
Yeah, why not?
I'm in it just for the music.
Yeah. They need to bring this back, some primetime music.
They don't have this music anymore.
Yeah. Thank God for YouTube. There you go.
I love it. I love it. God.
So, I don't know.
Modern
we'll
sports
do, we'll do
music sucks. Can we just talk about that for
a little side note?
Are you ready for Sunday? I don't like that. Or is it Monday night? I don't like that song.
Oh no. That's the Sunday night football theme for NBC.
Country one.
Yeah, it's country.
Why? Why is it? I don't know. All right. If you like country, that's fine. Everybody's allowed to like their own thing, but I hate it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
That's the final word on it.
I'd rather have that than the country
I'll
music.
I'll take that any day over the... I don't even know who sings it. You know the country song.
I know it. Yeah,
are you ready for
football on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's terrible.
Wow. Really original right
it's
there.
Terrible.
Yeah. No, that's the...
It's just a question.
Yeah.
So, like, we need a song asking people if they're ready, and the writer is just like, are you ready for football? And they're like, let's do it. Let's add twangy country guitar and make it a thing. I hate it.
That's the Sunday night football NBC theme.
Yeah. Anyway.
Change it up, NBC.
Speaking of primetime football, though, Rich.
Yeah, it's time for our first batch of picks to make. It's time for our fantastic four picks for week number one. And we're going to play techno music for it.
Well, we just said we didn't want country. So.
Yeah, so techno coming your way.
All right. Well, it's been a while since we've done this, but I'm ready to get back into it. Haven't looked at these games at all, so this should be interesting. We're going to kick things off.
Fantastic.
Probably watching it right now if you're listening to this the day that it comes out. But the NFL opening game is a rematch from the NFC divisional round of the playoffs. The Atlanta Falcons are traveling to Philly to face off against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles Thursday, September 8th at 8:20 p.m. Rich, can the Eagles repeat their success against Matty Ice and the Falcons?
They could. Will they? I think it's going to be really tough. They're going to be without a lot of their starters for their first game. But you know what's funny is I kind of have a feeling of what happened last year. Last year, the very first game of the season was Chiefs versus Patriots, and the Chiefs blew out the Patriots, and everybody was like, oh my God, the Chiefs are amazing, da-da-da, the Patriots are on the downslope, the Patriots suck, da-da-da. I'm having a feeling the Falcons are going to win this game, and everyone's going to be like, oh, the Eagles, they suck, and da-da-da. I'm going to say the Eagles lose this game, but it doesn't, like, really affect the team.
We'll just pull the dog masks out and start all over.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, I was very interested to see which way you would go on this, but I have to agree. I think the Falcons are going to win this, and I'll tell you why. Brent Celek, Tim Jernigan, Nigel Bradham, Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey. What do all these names have in common? Those are players we will not have on the field for week one. And that worries me. I know we have a lot of talent on the team, but it still worries me that we're going to be missing all of these key contributors. So, at least for the first game, I got to go Falcons. They're going to be angry. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to want revenge. They can have their revenge. We'll just win the next 12 in a row. No big deal. It's all right.
All right.
We'll give them this one.
There you go.
Next up, we have an AFC West rivalry as the Kansas City Chiefs travel to L.A. to face off against the Chargers on Sunday, September 9th at 4 p.m. Rich, how do you like this one? Who's going to take an early lead in the AFC West?
So like I said before, the Chiefs, first game of the season.
Early season success. That's yeah. Andy Reid's.
That's right.
That's what he does.
They just demolish the Patriots. I foresee something similar here. I think Kansas City goes into L.A. and just... things go crazy. Sammy Watkins scores amazing. Tyreek Hill scores. Everybody scores. And it's early success for Andy Reid. Plus, if there is a team that gives up just, like, stupid plays, it's always the Chargers. The Chargers statistically always have, like, the best quarterback and, like, a top 10 defense. But yet they always finish, like, 7-9 because, yeah, like, stupid things happen. And I think this is going to be one of the cases. Like, Phillip Rivers will probably have 300 yards passing, but there's going to be like an interception that bounces off somebody's leg or something and goes for a pick six or something. So I'm going to go with Kansas City in this one.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know from all the years of listening that I really am not a fan of the Chargers because of that very fact that they are the most, they have the most talented, underachieving team in the history of football. It frustrates me to no end that they have top 10 offenses and defenses and never managed to crack 8-8. They literally don't know how to play football until November. Like, yes. I don't think that they know that the season starts in September, if you look at the past several years.
They're really opposites. Andy Reid is ready for football. They're going to be ready to go game one. Chargers don't get ready until, like, week 8.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, for that very reason, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. Next up, we have another rivalry, this time in the bitter north. The NFC North teams, the Chicago Bears, are traveling to the Green Bay Packers to face off in a Sunday night game. This is the one we were alluding to. Rich, will Khalil Mack have an impact on this first game?
I think so. You know what's funny is 3 weeks ago, I think everybody was saying Packers all the way. This is going to be this is going to be easy. With Khalil Mack, watch out. I am definitely worried for Aaron Rodgers. I will go, for the record, I will go with Packers at home, but I think this is going to be much closer than people are expecting. Like, I think this is going to be like 17-16. The Bears are going to now actually have a pass rush that scares people.
Yeah. So I'll say this. I alluded to it earlier. The Bears, I think, are poised to have a decent season. They had a top 10 defense last year. They were always within striking distance of teams. And I think Khalil Mack might push them over the edge. Trubisky hopefully will feel a little bit easier as the quarterback. Maybe the Bears steal an early season win against the Packers here. They haven't done it in a while, but they're going to be my my underdog team of the week.
Yeah,
here, the Chicago
that
Bears
is at Green Bay. It's tough to win at Lambeau.
Yeah, but you know what? It's early in the season. They really don't get their home field advantage until December. Okay. Until it gets really icy. So I'm going to go Bears on this one. Finally, we have a little bit of a California Civil War brewing as the LA Rams travel to Oakland to face off against the newly dismantled Raiders. So, Rich.
That is the best response. The newly dismantled Raiders.
These are two very high-octane offenses, but will defense play a key in this matchup?
The Rams have spent boatloads of money to improve their defense. In short, actually, the Rams have to win this game.
Okay.
If the Rams lose to Oakland, that is a very bad sign that the free agent acquisitions that they had aren't gelling together yet.
Ooh, that could be bad.
Right. Especially to Oakland only has Oakland only really has the offense going for them now.
Yeah.
Now they lost Khalil Mack. I think that defense is going to sink like a ship. And, you know, Gruden, this is going to be his first game coaching, in 10 years?
Yeah, and as you alluded to, they've got their eyes set on the Vegas Strip, not necessarily on the road ahead of them here.
Yeah, so the Rams should be able to win this game. If they don't, there's something really wrong with the team.
No, I agree. The Rams should wrap this one up. They have that fantastic offense back, but not only that, but they bolstered an already good defense. I think they brought in Sue, Ndamukong Suh. You know, pairing him with, what's his name, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
If my play against them in Madden is any indication, teams won't be able to run for positive yards at all. By the way, I'm terrible at Madden 19.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. Haven't played that in 10 years. The Rams are going to be good. They're going to beat the Raiders easily, I think.
Yep. And there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for the opening week of the 2018 NFL season. There you go, Mike. It's back. Football is back. Everything is back. We got all of our segments.
Did you notice the entire sports sampler was football?
Yep.
And there is peace in the world.
And Mike,
can you feel
happy.
That? That is nirvana, Rich.
Mike is happy. He doesn't have to talk about golf anymore.
Not for a whole year almost.
Yeah. Maybe some baseball if it's time for World Series. But other than that, or if the Phillies make the playoffs.
Well, that could be a possibility.
That could be. But right now, Mike's happy. We're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up the sports sampler. Coming up next, though, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the punish, but very pissed off thing here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what pissed off. Podcast that don't ask me to be on.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along into the second part of our show, where we focus on some movie and video game news. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Well, that scream can only mean one thing, and that
is... That sound makes me so happy to know that my first podcast back, I'm going to be getting a dose of Alex Jones, Rich.
Yep.
What's he been up to?
I've got a quick Alex Jones update here for you.
These are always entertaining and not at all terrifying.
No. So Alex Jones is right now in internet hell because he can't be featured on iTunes or YouTube or anything like that, but yet somehow his clips still make it online somehow.
Yep.
One of them is a clip that is going viral. Apparently there was a news story, like kind of one of those puff pieces, you know, it's supposed to make you feel good about.
Right. Like a human interest type deal.
Yeah. And this took place, I believe, in New York. Apparently there is a library that is inviting quote, drag queens to come in and read books to children.
Okay.
And, you know, for...
That's different.
Yeah, it's different, you know. But sure, why not? Anything that encourages reading, I think, is pretty much
encourages reading, gives kids something to do.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe get to see some cool costumes. You know, drag queens are pretty elaborate with, you know, what they can come up with and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But...
No.
Of course, Alex Jones has an issue.
Of course he does.
And
of course he does. Why wouldn't he have an issue with this?
Right. And he definitely goes off the rails a little bit here.
Oh, man, this is going
to
be bad.
Quick minute clip, but that's all you need when it comes to Alex Jones and something that he's angry about. So here it is. This is his... So he reacts that it's essentially the equivalent of letting Satan reading... letting Satan read books to children.
Of course.
So
of course.
Here you go. Here's his reaction.
But again, imagine if somebody in a demon outfit showed up next to a baby giraffe and said, "Hi, I'm a demon. Be inclusive. Don't be mean to me. Let me wear demon horns and come up and look like a complete alien from another planet. Let a space alien." And by the way, this is a program. They dress up like space aliens all over the United States and all over the world. I told you. In horrible demon psychopath outfits that make Pennywise look beautiful. And they show up and they have their way with your children in demon outfits. I mean, if you've got men that look like 400-pound goblin demons with your children, there's nothing you all put up with. There isn't a species on the planet that would let something that looks like a space alien get up close to its kids. But only in America does it happen, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it right now. I can't handle it anymore.
Oh, my God.
There you go. That's
wow.
The latest from Alex Jones.
Rich, that was amazing. Thank you for that. Why is it always demons? Why is everything a demon? He doesn't like something. It's a demon.
Yeah, it's it must.
Computers are demons. Drag queens are demons.
Yeah.
Everything's demons. Government officials are demons.
Gay frogs.
Lady Gaga's a demon.
That's right.
All right, what is not a demon? Can we have... Can Alex Jones tell us what is not a demon? What is not a demon? That's what I want to know. Oh my God, I was right. That wasn't terrifying at all.
Yes, of course not.
Man, where do you even begin to unpack all that? Holy crap. They're going to have their way with your children? What does he think is happening in these libraries?
Yeah, it's a library.
Jesus, I know, really.
They're
this is like... This is a wholesome program where people come in and read to kids. You know, that is a good thing, you know? And he's making it about demons and some allusions to sexual predatory things and blowing it so far out of proportion.
Basically, I think what he's trying to say is, like, if you let the drag queens read to your children, they're going to want to become drag queens or something. but I don't understand.
Because that's how it works, is through osmosis.
Right. Yeah, it's a viral infection.
Yeah, by coexisting in the same room, you can contract a drag queenness.
Yeah.
Like, what? The demons Mel you're letting... Cal. Oh, my God.
Elephants. But again, imagine if somebody in a demon outfit showed up next to a baby giraffe and said, "Hi, I'm a demon. Be inclusive. Don't be mean to me. Let me wear demon horns and come up and look like a complete alien from another planet."
I would just like to say, I would love to see a demon be like, "Hi, I'm a demon.
I am a demon, yeah."
"Hey, what's up? How you doing?"
Also, why is he using the example of baby giraffes? Yeah. I feel like I'm missing something with this clip.
Yeah, I guess he thinks giraffes.
Oh, because he said there's no species on Earth that would allow this to happen?
That's why.
I watched a giraffe drink another giraffe's pee.
That's right, you did.
So, Alex Jones, yes, absolutely other species would absolutely allow this, you lunatic.
"And come up and look like a complete alien from another planet, let a space alien." And by the way, this is a program. They dress up like space aliens all over the United States and all over the world. I told you. In horrible demon psychopath outfits that make Pennywise look beautiful.
Okay, I'm glad.
Well, he's up to date on his current pop culture references.
Right, I'm glad he's seen it. So, yeah. So that's good.
He probably thought it was a real thing. Like it was a true story.
They show up and they have their way with your children in demon outfits. I mean, if you've got men that look like 400-pound goblin demons with your children, there's nothing you won't put up with. There isn't a species on the planet that would let something that looks like a space alien get up close to its kids. But only in America does it happen, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it right now. I can't handle it anymore.
It happens in America because we have this thing called, what is it? It's this very elusive thing. Oh, freedom. That's right.
Yeah. I just love, he gets so angry, he actually begins to throw the chair and they cut the commercial.
Yeah, because he's about to tear down his own studio.
Yeah.
Over the 400-pound goblin demons. Why is it always goblin? I don't understand these goblins. He must live a very scary life.
Right.
Like, he just goes around thinking everything's a goblin demon out to get him. Like, I couldn't live like that. I, you know, just constantly terrified that some demon is going to get me. That's, what does he think happens on Halloween? Like, does he think Halloween is real?
Right. How does he handle Halloween if you're worried about drag queens?
Thumbtack, reminder, post-it note. Alex Jones Halloween. We need to see what he says about it for this upcoming Halloween.
Yeah.
He probably thinks it's real, Rich.
Oh, dear God.
I think he thinks it's real.
I should send Ghoul BC down to his house.
Oh, my God.
Have you heard about Satan?
Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior Satan?
Have you heard about Papa Emeritus?
The demons are coming to... Yeah, it's just...
They came to my house!
No other species would give demons guitars! It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
What kind of world is this?
Raving. Oh. I'm about to get mad, start throwing stuff.
All right. Well, yeah. Before you get to that level.
Thank you for sharing that. We got to have a healthy dose of Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
To get the blood pumping.
Well, before you get all angry, we need you to get your files organized and get ready for the segment where you let us know what's coming up this weekend with movies and video games and stuff like that. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
All right, well, it might be if you let Alex Jones consume your life. But what do you have for us, Mike?
Well, first up, for This Week in Entertainment, if you're heading to the movies, keep an eye out for this one. Peppermint is an awfully titled action drama coming out this week starring Jennifer Garner as a mother who had her family brutally murdered and is now hunting down those who wronged her. No reviews are out yet for this film, but if you want a little last bit of summer action movies, this could be the film for you. Basically, the premise is that her daughter and husband get killed in a drive-by shooting. I don't know why. Maybe she's a drug dealer. Who knows? But then she goes on the run, and she learns and trains how to be an assassin, and she comes back and starts this vigilante justice against, you know, crooked cops and criminals and judges and just everybody. She's taking down everybody. So if you're into a classic revenge story, if you want a little bit of summer action blockbuster, go check out Peppermint in theaters this week. In the world of television, there's a show that Rich is probably very interested in. Mayans MC premiered this week and will air Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on FX. This series is, of course, a spinoff of the fan favorite show Sons of Anarchy. Rich, are you looking forward to Mayans MC?
Yeah, I'm interested to give this one a shot.
Spinoffs are usually, you know, sometimes not as good as the originals, but not always the case. Do you have high hopes for this?
I do somewhat, because I like the fact that for this spinoff series, Kurt Sutter wrote the main character to be someone who's an outsider and follows the life of becoming a member of a motorcycle club.
Okay. Whereas, so it's like an origin story type deal.
Yeah, whereas with Sons of Anarchy, the main character, Jax, his family was always in it. Like, his father had started the club, his mother encouraged him to join the club. Like, he didn't know a life outside of being a part of the Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
Whereas the main character in Mayan is a guy that comes out of jail. He's not sure what he wants to do with his life. And he starts off at the bottom rung. He starts off as just a lowly prospect and has to work his way up.
Okay.
So I like that aspect. It's going to be a new twist on it. It's definitely a mark from a definitive mark away from Sons of Anarchy because the way that storyline ended, it ended with a clear and definitive end, and that this series moves on from that.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see where Kurt Sutter goes with this show.
Okay, so it sounds like the original writer-director is back. It sounds like they're taking a sort of Better Call Saul approach, where they're not just rehashing a story during that same timeline, but they're looking at a different perspective of the whole issue.
Right, so I'm interested to see how Kurt explores with the show Mayans.
All right, awesome. There you go. So keep an eye out for Mayans MC, Tuesdays on FX. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. This month, PlayStation Plus users get really spoiled here with two AAA games. We get Destiny 2 and God of War 3 Remastered. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to replay that game. It was a big hit on PlayStation 3. And I hope it holds up just as well on PlayStation 4. But the biggest news in video games has to be the impending release of the PlayStation 4 exclusive Spider-Man. I am so, so pumped for this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's
finally here, Mike.
It is finally here. It's coming out Friday. This game is from Insomniac Games, the developers behind Ratchet & Clank, Resistance, and Spyro the Dragon. It brings gamers an open-world Spider-Man game that borrows heavily from the famed Batman Arkham series. The combat will look very familiar to people, but what separates the two is the more personal story of Spider-Man, in which gamers will also get to play as Peter Parker and Mary Jane. It's a different take for superhero games, and one that I think is important for Spider-Man, because Spider-Man is one of those heroes where the secret identity is so important to understanding the character and the conflicts that he deals with. So I think this is going to... I know, because reviewers are absolutely loving that aspect of the game. They're loving swinging through the city. They love the trifecta of action, story, and gameplay. The game already has an 87 on Metacritic, so don't delay in picking this game up, because it releases on Friday. I already have it pre-ordered, and I'm ready to dive in and spend a lot of the weekend swinging through the city and knocking bad guys around. I've been so ready for a good Spider-Man game.
You've had a great week then, with football starting, and now you're going to get Spider-Man, the new video game. Yeah,
everything's looking up for me.
Yeah,
knock on wood, because it's all about to go south. No, I kid. But anyway, that's what we're looking forward to in This Week in Entertainment, and that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. We actually have some more Sony news to discuss, which spins off of Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, Sony's been having a big news week, a lot of stories surrounding the PlayStation company. They had some good news, of course, with the Spider-Man reviews, but they're also dealing with some nagging issues that keep coming up the past few weeks and months, the issue of cross-play. Sony and PlayStation, they are recently in the news again because of their strong stance about not allowing cross-play with other consoles. So cross-play is, say, a PlayStation user could play an online game with an Xbox user, and they could play an online game with a Nintendo Switch user. Basically, it's everybody can play the same games online together. If everybody has, you know, Rocket League, they could all play Rocket League together or Minecraft together, which Xbox and Nintendo allow, but Sony does not. And the reason why they're back in the news again is because recently Sony CEO Kenichiro Yoshida said that, quote, PlayStation is the best place to play. And of course, people are taking this as a way of him saying people should just buy PlayStation 4s. And as PlayStation 4 fanboys, of course, we would concur with that statement. however, a lot of gamers are not taking it that way, especially since he also deflected in following statements about saying that PlayStation 4 already does some cross-play with PC, and it's true they do that. But he also said that they decide cross-play based on what is the best user experience. And lots of fans are taking issue with this, noting, of course, the prominent Battle Royale shooter Fortnite, and players not being able to play with their friends on different systems and not being able to carry over online progression. Say if you start on PlayStation and want to go to a new console, your online progression doesn't carry over to the other console. So I guess the question here is there any validity to Sony's claims regarding crossplay? I mean, what are the, are there any benefits to crossplay, or do you think that Sony's speaking the truth when they say they want everybody to play on PlayStation, that gives them the best user experience?
Well, so it's a little bit of a complicated issue, because you have to remember Sony's going to be a business, and obviously they're going to be like, no, we want you to buy PlayStation.
Right.
You know, they obviously, from a business perspective, they don't want to have that much, you know, cross-play integration.
Right.
But as a gamer, it's really frustrating, you know, because you want to be able to play with your friends. It shouldn't really matter if one person has Xbox or PlayStation. You all have the same game.
Right.
You should all be able to play together online in a multiplayer sense, and I don't know. It bothers me that Sony is kind of just essentially being all high and mighty with this. Oh,
yeah.
You know, we're the best place to play. So, you know, go F off. You know,
yeah.
Go play with your little dinky Nintendo Switch or whatever.
Right.
This is where the adults play.
Yeah, go play with the other 15 Xbox One users and the little kids on Nintendo Switch. Yeah, and that's why gamers are having such an issue with it, because it's not about... See, I don't buy into the whole best user experience thing. Sony claims that their concern is, you know, that the PlayStation Network is a curated environment, and if they allow other networks to introduce their player bases, they have less control over it. I don't really buy that. I think, you know, lots of game developers would love to have their games cross-play, because it means they're increasing their user base.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about Grand Theft Auto 5 Online. If you could get, you know, PlayStation and Xbox gamers together, think about how many people would be online playing that game all the time if you play with your friends who have a different console.
You'd always have somebody for those heist missions.
Exactly. Would be stuck at level 20 trying to play a heist mission. So I don't buy the best user experience thing, because it's not about user experience. Like you said, I think it's the business thing. And people forget that when Sony was losing the quote-unquote console wars last generation, they were all for cross-play, and it was Xbox that didn't want to allow cross-play. And now the tables have turned. Xbox wants cross-play, and PlayStation doesn't, because PlayStation's in the lead. It doesn't make any business sense for them to be like, oh, yeah, you don't have to have a PlayStation. You can buy an Xbox or buy a Switch, and you can still play with your PlayStation friends. So as the industry leader currently, of course they're gonna poo-poo it, you know, because why wouldn't they want to keep people buying PlayStations? And of course Xbox is going to want it, because they want people to be able to play, you know, with whoever else is out there. They don't want to be like, well, we only have, you know, so many online players, because it looks bad for their player base. And I don't think this is an issue that's ever really going to get resolved, because I think every generation, the console leader is not going to allow it.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we've had two back-to-back instances of this in two generations where the council leader is, you know, from a business standpoint, has no incentive to do this, to allow it. I guess the only way that they would is if they face a lot of backlash and lose support over this. Do you think that this could be like a sticking point for the next generation, the way that PlayStation used the whole online only thing of the Xbox against them? Remember how Xbox came out? They said we're online only, and Sony took that and spun it so that their system was the better one, and how they turned that into now, you know, a 2-to-1 sales ratio. Do you think Xbox could take this controversy and be like, look, our system is more open?
Maybe, but I think you would need a really big rallying cry from the multiplayer universe. I don't think...
Do you think it's there?
Maybe, but I don't think so. Because the first... Here's the thing that is the separation is when it came to the Xbox online only thing, that affected every part of the games that you bought. Single player, multiplayer, everything.
Right.
So as someone who buys video games mostly because I want a single player experience, I usually don't go for multiplayer games.
Yeah.
That affected me because I'm like, why would I want a console that only works that if it's plugged into an internet source at all times? Like, no, I should be able to play a single player game regardless of whether or not I'm connected to the internet or not.
Yeah.
That's totally irrelevant.
Just earlier today, my internet went down because Comcast is really reliable. Okay. Internet went down in the middle of downloading.
Guess we're not getting the Comcast endorsement.
No. never. Internet went down in the middle of downloading God of War 3. But because the console can play games without having to constantly check in online, I could start playing the portion that it already downloaded. You know?
Right.
If the console's always online, I wouldn't have been able to do that because the internet went down. That's where the issue arose. And the thing with multiplayer, and why I don't think, I agree with you, I don't think that it's going to be a large enough rallying cry to make a difference, is because, and I hate to sound like this, because it's going to sound like very stuck-up-ish, you know, like snobbish, hardcore gamer type stuff, but the only people that care about multiplayer are gamers who are single genre or single game gamers, right? So people who buy Call of Duty for multiplayer, they don't care what platform it's on. They're just going to buy whatever platform their friends have at the time, you know? Mm. They're not really thinking about cross-play. They're just thinking about the one game that they play and the friends that they play it with. And that's fine if that's what you do. And that is the majority of gamers. We're in the minority here of people that pay attention to the online thing and, you know, the cross-play thing. Most gamers are, they buy Halo and they have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
They buy Grand Theft Auto and they have a good time. They don't care what system.
You shoot things and you have a good time.
Exactly. Exactly. They buy Madden and they have a good time. They don't care what system it's on. As long as there's people to play online, they couldn't care less. Maybe they discover it might become an inconvenience, but the majority of them, I would wager, don't even give it a second thought. I think that this is a fringe issue that a vocal minority is trying to make into a big issue. I don't really see it negatively impacting Sony, and I don't see it negatively or positively impacting Microsoft and Nintendo. Would I like it? Yeah, of course. But I'd also like the system to be backwards compatible all the way back to PlayStation 1. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, we can all want something. I want a pony, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if there was cross-play between all the consoles, but I think with the way the current situation is, Sony, like you said, doesn't really have any...
There's no incentive
to do it, yeah.
And I think the majority, if you took a poll of casual gamers that play one or two games or mostly play sports or shooters, they wouldn't even know what cross-play is. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, dismissive, but I know a lot of those types of gamers personally, and they're like, I don't care. They're like, what's a gigabyte? And I'm like, oh my God, how?
Yeah, how have you survived this long?
They're like, what's a gigabyte? And I'm like, dude, what? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't mean that to sound mocking, but that's the reality of it.
Right. I don't know. It's just one of those things that I think is slightly, it's slightly annoying, and it's something that you think should
It should be allowed.
Should be allowed.
Right.
But it's not, and
I don't
it's
think,
not overly...
I don't think it will be.
Right. It's not an overwhelming cry for it to make that much of a difference that it would be.
It's not like people being afraid they can't play their games.
Right, which was what the outcry was for the online only.
Yeah.
Because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a big misstep by Microsoft. However, I will say this. I'll go on the record as saying I think that they were ahead of their time. I think we're going to see that with the next generation.
What, the cross-play?
Not cross-play, but a form of online only, because I think we're probably going to see a shift to digital very soon.
In terms of what, playing the game or buying games?
Both.
Both?
I think there was a rumor that Microsoft is going to offer two versions of its next console, one with a disk drive and one that just has a hard drive and no option to insert disks, a digital-only console. So we are heading in that direction. I think Microsoft was just way ahead of the curve.
Well, I think Sony's looking at that, too. I mean, they all want to eventually move away from the optical disc or memory cards or anything like that.
I have...
Even Nintendo's looking at that.
I've had my PlayStation since the fall after... Or no, the spring after the PlayStation 4 launched. I have 4 disc-based games.
Yeah, see, look at that.
How many do you have disc-based?
Oh, that's a good question.
You don't even know, do you?
My Madden, my God of War. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. And we were so totally against digital. I would wager a bet that about 70% of your games are digital.
Probably.
And you don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
unless I pre-ordered on Amazon to get 20% off.
Right, but they're getting rid of that.
So I have no reason to pre-order from Amazon anymore.
Yeah. And you're right. It is moving into all digital.
Yeah.
And you know what else?
And we didn't even realize it.
Yeah, it slowly just happened.
Yeah.
The coup has happened.
It was the iTunesification of video games.
Yeah. But you know what else, too? It also makes it better for those flash sales that happen.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually when I buy games is whenever I see, like, flash sales happening.
I spend so much money in flash sales. It's gotten to the point where I bought so many from previous flash sales, I already own the games, the current flash sales. I'm like, oh, I already bought that the last time. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But
final verdict, cross-play, do we need it? Do we not need it? Where do we stand on this?
All right, we don't need it.
Do we want it?
I would want it, yes.
Is it necessary?
No, not necessary.
I think that's the major issue.
At least coming... See, my problem is I think I'm a little bit slanted here because I'm more of a first person...
Yeah.
You know, I care about the single player games.
Yeah. I do have to admit, Sony fan, single player fan, so...
Right, I think if you,
we're old school gamers.
I think if you got somebody who was a big Call of Duty fan, big Fortnite fan,
specifically it's like the Minecraft and Fortnite communities where they're like, we want to play with everyone else.
Right, we want to play with our friends and everything like that. Yeah. And, you know, that I understand. But for me personally, I think you're fine without it. I think it's more of a want than it is a need.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, there you go. A quick little video game topic to hit on in the entertainment entree for this week. And that will wrap up the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have a special odd news segment. It's going to get a little interesting in the odd news. You'll see why in just a few minutes. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hey, Woody here. What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have, like, an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. We're with the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That's his order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along into the third and final portion of the show where we have some odd news to share with you. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Now, normally in this segment, Rich would find a whole bunch of stories and bring them here, and we'd go over them and laugh and have a good time. But this week, we've prepared a special little themed version of the odd news, looking back at some of our previous stories. And it all has a very specific theme. We have medical stories here to make me feel better after surgery.
Yeah, right?
These are all very uplifting stories, as the odd news always is.
Mike, you're coming off of surgery. I figure what better way to celebrate?
Yeah, right, than to go over some medical and surgery oddities. nothing better. Nothing to put my mind at ease quite like these stories.
Fantastic.
Especially given the theme. Let me tell you what we got cooked up for you guys here. Sometimes during surgery, things get left behind, or something gets stuck somewhere, or sometimes surgery is required to get someone or something unstuck. The point is, the odd news special's theme is getting stuck, either things in people or people in things.
Either way. It's accepted.
So these are all, and I can't believe we put a special together about this. These are all stories, yep, in which people had something stuck inside of them, requiring surgery to get it out, or the person got part of them, usually the privates, stuck in something that they had to get surgically unstuck.
Oh, yes. So we got a couple of stories here that we need to go over because some of these are just great clips from the Crispy Noodle archives. The first one, I don't know why this even happened in the first place, but I guess you could say that. You know what? I guess you can say that with a lot of these. But
yeah.
As someone who doesn't like fire, I don't know why this happened. Simply put, this is from episode 255, Chinese Man Swallows Lighter. Take it away. Doctors at a Chinese hospital said that they needed two surgeries to remove a lighter from the stomach of a man who swallowed it 20 years ago.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
First off, why?
Why swallow a lighter?
Yeah.
And secondly, after you swallow it, why are you just like, I don't need to get this checked out?
This is A-OK.
This is fine.
My body will take care of it, right?
Right. The stomach will digest lighter fluid.
Right.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just don't fart.
Just have a flamethrower ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just, yeah. Whatever you do, don't fart. Yeah.
You just try to pass gas while watching TV and the whole couch goes up in flames.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, rakakaka, tukutuku. And then sometimes my bunghole goes rawatatatatabop.
Yeah, don't do it. A video recorded at a hospital in Chengdu City of the Sichuan province used a camera that was inserted into the man's body to locate the metal lighter in his stomach. This is metal.
Yes, that's not gonna dissolve.
So, did he not fly? Did he never get like the wand put
on
him?
That's true.
Shouldn't that have set off like alarms and stuff? Did he ever get an X-ray?
Maybe not. Maybe he
20
just,
years?
20 years. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't get any medical procedures done. Man.
Or is this like The Simpsons where the doctor's thumb
right,
was hiding
the... thumb
the,
is always
hiding,
over.
Hiding the crayon?
Yeah.
This one's hiding the lighter in his stomach?
I feel like that's exactly what happened because I'm having trouble thinking of a...
20 years?
Right. I'm having trouble thinking of a scenario...
You never got a single X-ray? Nothing?
Your stomach never bothered you?
Yeah.
Like you never... You just swallow a lighter and you're like, oh, well.
And you just moving on.
You just go about your day for 20 years.
Yeah.
Man.
So the man told doctors he, quote, accidentally swallowed the lighter.
Okay. What are you trying to do? Light a cigarette and you just accidentally, what, inhale the lighter?
Yeah. I don't know how you accidentally swallowed the lighter. He said that it took place 20 years earlier. He said that he didn't seek medical attention until recently when he started having stomach aches and blood in his stool.
I have to find a new job. What will I do?
I'll get the beer knuckle knob.
There's blood in my stool. Oh,
yeah, the old blood in the stool.
The old blood in the stool trick.
Yeah, that's a great lyric, too. Why
yes,
not?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. That would be alarming. But wouldn't it also be alarming to swallow a lighter?
Apparently, that's not enough. Not until you look down in the toilet and you see blood.
Yeah. It's all A-okay until that very moment.
I have to find a new job. What will I do?
I'll get the beer knuckle knob.
There's blood in my stool.
You are so happy you get to play that clip.
I just love it because it's such an obscure reference.
Right.
Whose line is it anyway?
Right.
Blood in my stool.
Oh, my God.
Best hoedown ever.
Yeah.
Or Irish drinking song. Sorry. Irish drinking song.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's.
Doctors said that an initial attempt to remove the lighter was unsuccessful, but a second surgery that lasted 10 minutes ended with the device being successfully extracted. So the man's now doing fine and is A-okay.
I just don't understand how you could swallow something. Like a lighter is, you know, it's small, but it's big enough where it's awkward to swallow and also should cause you concern that it is stuck inside your body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... Why would you just accidentally swallow and just be like, oh, well, for 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, do
people
feel...
gotta stop swallowing things.
Well, do you feel better about yourself now?
Yeah, I've never swallowed a lighter.
Okay,
or who
good.
Knows? Maybe I have. Maybe it was an accident. And I'll find out 20 years from now.
And you're gonna
when
be
when there's blood in my stool. Oh, Heidi, Heidi.
Yeah, you know? That'll be the
I'll
the
sing
test.
About it, yeah.
When there's blood in the stool, that's when you go to the hospital.
That's when you go to the hospital. Yeah, that's good advice to live by.
That's the sign.
Yep.
Blood in the stool, go to the hospital. Yeah, can we not swallow flammable objects?
I don't know why we got to tell people all the time not to swallow things. Don't put things inside your butt. Don't swallow things. Don't put things in any sort of bodily orifice in which it should not be placed.
Unfortunately, this is just scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah. And actually, this next story is about somebody who was putting something in the correct place, just one too many of them.
Yeah. You can take it in, but you got to remember to take it out.
Yes. And referring to contact lenses, of course, because in episode 219, there were 27 contact lenses in a woman's eye.
A surgeon in Sohill, England, had to remove a total of 27 contact lenses from the eye of a British woman who was scheduled for cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God! Oh, my son! Oh, okay! Oh, my head is burning up!
This person did go to the hospital, didn't she? Now, if you have that many contact lenses, I assume stuck inside her eye, right?
Yep.
Maybe you should switch to glasses.
Yeah. Just an idea.
See, this is why I don't wear contact lenses, because that would be me. I would always be afraid that I would like close my eyes, fall asleep, and then get stuck inside. Now, the myth is that they'll get like stuck like behind your eye or like inside your eye. Like, no, they'll just get stuck up in your eyelid. But I feel like that would happen to me all the time. That's why I stick with glasses.
The 67-year-old patient reportedly went to a doctor for eye surgery when her eye doctor found, quote, a bluish mass.
Oh, my God, that's gross.
It was 17 contact lenses stuck together behind her upper eyelid.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
And then the eye doctor found 10 contacts found and had to be removed in the same eye below the eyelid as well. So that's 27 altogether.
How? There's not a lot of room in your eyelids. Like, everybody just take your eyelid and just like play with it a little bit. Like, there's not a lot of room in there. How do you go about your day and like, just like, oh, I guess my eyes are extra swollen today. Like, every day, every hour of every day, my eyes are just extra swollen.
I had a rough boxing match.
Yeah, exactly.
5 days in a row straight.
Now, Rich, you've worn contacts before. Or yes. You wear contacts occasionally.
Yeah, I go back and forth, yeah.
Tell me, do you think you'd be able to tell if there were 17 contact lenses stuck?
17 you should be able to.
Can you feel contact lenses?
Not once they're in, no. Okay. So I can understand if it's like one or two. 17, though, you should be able to feel.
Yeah, like that's the thing I don't get. Like, once it gets caught up there, don't you think you'd feel it if it got caught up there?
The patient claims that she had no idea that the contacts had gone missing in her eye.
Where have they been going? What does she think? They're just like the magic evaporating contact lenses? Your body just absorbs them?
Oh, yep, must be done.
That's a great scientific thing. If they can make contact lenses that just get absorbed into your body, I don't know. Like sugar contact lenses.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I leveraged speechless. Go ahead.
Sugar contact.
I was trying to think of something that would dissolve in the body.
Sure. Don't go
near... I can tell you're not impressed. All right.
Just don't go near any horses.
Just licking your eyes
out. Eye over and over again. But anyway, so she admitted that she admitted that her shockingly mild discomfort, she thought was due to old age and dry eyes.
She's just rubbing her eyes. It feels like there's something stuck in back of there. Nope. It's just dryness.
Nope. I'm old now.
Nope. I'm old.
I have hit 60 years old. I'm now old. That's the only thing I can imagine. It literally happens. 59, she's partying. It's like, I am old now.
There's a switch that gets flipped.
Yeah.
But, like, where did she think the contacts were going? Like, she think, oh, man, I really suck at keeping these in my eyeballs because it's just 27 times in a row it's just falling out and I haven't noticed it.
They keep falling out. Oh, dear, I'm always losing my things.
But, like... I feel like some people should not be given contact lenses.
Yeah, if you don't know where 17 contact lenses are going. 27.
17 in the one eyelid.
Right.
Yeah, 27.
27 altogether. That's right.
That's insane.
That's right.
How many because don't you wear like a contact lens like multiple times? You don't put like a new one in every day, do you? That'd be insane.
There's daily ones.
Okay.
So unless your doctor is specifically ordering you the daily contact lenses, then no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. Like, I know my brother wears, like, I think his he wears for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, how many, like, I don't know. I don't know enough about contact lenses. I would be alarmed. Like, I go to take out my contact lens and I just, like, where did it go? It must have fallen out. Like, 27 days in a row.
Yeah. The doctor, Dr. Moore Jahari, says that all the 17 contact lenses in the upper eye were stuck together. We were really surprised that the patient didn't notice it because it would cause a lot of irritation while it was sitting on the eye. Although her cataract surgery was postponed due to fear of infection, the patient now reports that her eye feels more comfortable. Congratulations.
No kidding.
Yeah. it still remains uncertain how exactly long the contacts had been in her eye.
If I had to wager a bet, I'd say, like, probably a long time.
Yeah. There you go. 27 different
That's insane.
Contact lenses. What are you doing with your life?
Oh, my gosh. That would... just thinking about it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like the thought of anything, like, being in or on my eye. That's another reason why I can't do contact lenses. Because I just know that I would, like, blind myself trying to put them in. I would just, like, jab myself in the eye and just be done with.
The very first time you use contact lenses, yeah, you feel like that.
Yeah.
But after you have some practice with it, you start to get better
at it.
It's
just second nature.
Yeah.
Just jab them in there, half asleep.
I'll tell you, I'm not an expert, but I feel like I'm much better at it now.
Because you've been using them for a while, right?
Yeah. My sister is amazing with...
Is she one of those, like, one-hand people?
Yeah.
She can do it with her eyes closed?
Yeah. She put her eyes closed. Yeah.
That's really impressive. Yeah. You, like, feed it that's in like, through your
that's
closed
like a
eye.
Magician act or yeah. something.
Now you
and
see
it. Now I can see! Yeah. Wait, what? How do we know you can see? Use the board over there. We got to see. We got to test if you can actually
just trust me. I'm magic. But yeah, like, my brother can do it with one hand, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like I could ever do that.
I'm not that good. I still have to use both hands, and I have to be near a mirror. And
it's creepy. He'll, like, hold his bottom eyelid down and then jab his finger in his eye and, like, swirl it around. I'm like, why are you doing that? It just freaks me out.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah. But I'm much better at getting the contact lens in my eye. But the very first week you use contact lenses, yeah, you feel like you're jabbing.
How many times did you poke yourself in the eye?
Oh, easily the whole week. Oh, yeah.
That didn't deter you? You're like, ow! Ow! Every morning, ow! And then No,
because I gotta admit, the very first time you wear contacts and you can see clearly without glasses, it's like, whoa, like, this is pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I have no idea what that... I've been wearing glasses since I was 7 years old.
Yeah, you're just used to it by now.
Yeah, this is the only life I've ever known. That sounded really dramatic, that this is the only life I've ever known.
Sounds like the beginning of, like, a serious song or something. It's the only life I ever known.
The glasses man.
I am the glasses man.
Since seventh grade, just a wee little lad. Wearing glasses, I felt so bad.
All I needed was an adjustment just a tad for these glasses of mine.
It's the only life I've ever known. Wearing contacts would be a mind blown. I don't know. I can't.
Yeah,
I can't do this songwriting shtick.
There you go.
But yeah, so my ultra dramatic, super sappy 20 some years I've been wearing glasses.
The Only Life I've Known by Michael Costanzo. Oh, that bothers me. Sometimes
you wear contacts sometimes.
Yeah.
Is that a fear of yours? Is getting one stuck up there?
Not really. I mean, usually I'm pretty good with getting them in and out.
You never fall asleep and it gets, like, because I hear that's a thing. Like, you fall asleep and it gets stuck. Ugh.
Yeah. So yeah.
Like, how?
That's like a key rule. Don't fall asleep with them.
What do you do, though, if it happens?
I mean,
just squirt a lot of contact solution right into your eye?
I guess. But most of the time, though, you still should be fine. It's more of an irritation if you fall asleep with it.
Like, your eyelids are closed. Wouldn't it keep it, like, moist, or does it not work that way?
But when you fall asleep, you're in, like, REM sleep.
Oh,
so
the eye moves.
Yeah.
So you can't go into deep sleep with contacts.
You could. It would be
bad.
Right. Usually, if you do fall asleep with contacts, it's usually more of just an irritation.
Okay.
But it's still not a good thing.
Not 27.
Yeah. Take the damn lens out of your eye. Come on.
No, you just add it on top. It's like double vision.
Super vision. Bam.
It's like a telescope, you know?
27 contact lenses. I should be super... I should have 50-50 vision.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The... Exactly. 50-50. 100-100.
2,000 by 2,000.
Really good vision.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of logic there, but there's no logic behind this next one. In episode 192, we had this crazy story about a Vietnamese man had 18-year-old scissors removed from his body.
Yeah, didn't know it. Ugh.
18 years.
Here's the story. In Vietnam, okay. A Vietnamese man was experiencing pain in his abdomen. He decided to go. He decided to undergo surgery. When they opened him up, they found a pair of surgical scissors that a previous doctor left inside his body approximately 18 years ago.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
Yeah.
18 years?
18 years.
And they hadn't bothered him until that very moment?
Apparently not enough to cause surgery.
I don't know how you don't accidentally, like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
With scissors in your gut. Like, if you, like, lay down the wrong way, like, it's just going to cut your intestines right open.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
Yep. Mr. Von Knott.
Von Knott?
Wow, yeah.
I don't know. Name. That name sounds fake, Rich. Von Knott?
Von Knott. That's his name.
When you said Von, I thought you were going to say Von Trapp or something.
Nope. Mr. Von Knott underwent surgery Saturday at a hospital in Thai Nguyen province after specialists from Viet Duc Hospital in Hanoi were summoned to assist with the procedure. 54-year-old Mr. Von Knott had undergone an ultrasound scan in an attempt to identify the cause of his abdominal pains, and subsequent x-rays identified the cause as a pair of surgical scissors.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. How awkward is that x-ray, like, it's consultation? Like,
it's probably the doctor that left him in there.
What the hell is that? That's not supposed to be inside there.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the part where they taught me where the scissor bone connects to. The scissor bone connects to, hey, wait a second.
Connects to the staples bone.
Yeah.
Staple bone's connected to the office bone.
The office bone?
Yeah.
There's an entire office inside of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I really am amazed, though, that he didn't die.
Yeah.
And also, to rewind 18 years ago, how are you performing surgery? And you just forget that there's scissors inside of him.
Wait a minute. Where did that pair go?
You can't be that fast at sewing a person up that you don't notice scissors.
Oh, man. Lucille, she always grabs my extra pair of scissors.
Oh, damn you, Lucille. Why Lucille? You have Negan on the mind.
Yeah, I had Negan on the mind. Instead of a bat, she leaves scissors.
She's a dingbat. Because she's leaving scissors inside of people.
The patient says that the scissors were apparently left inside him the last time he underwent surgery at Bac Con Provincial Hospital. He was in a road accident that required surgery in 1998. The 6-inch long scissors.
That's a pretty big, I mean, that's not like a tiny little,
no.
Like 6 inches is sizable.
Yeah. The 6-inch long scissors were removed successfully. And doctors say that Mr. Von Knott is expected to be discharged in the next couple of days. So a full recovery.
Wow. So it's a happy ending.
Yeah, good job.
But again, how do you leave scissors inside of a person?
That's a good question, because director of Bac Con Provincial Hospital, Trinh Thai Leong, says that a full investigation is underway to determine who exactly performed Mr. Von Knott's surgery in 1998. So there will be repercussions. They're going to follow up on this.
Yeah, you can't leave scissors inside of people.
Whoops.
Well, yeah, whoops, yes. Just one of those occupational hazards.
Yeah, it happens, right?
You know?
My bad. It happens. But
whoops, yeah, my whoops. Bad. Sorry about that. But no, think about it. You're a doctor. Right, you're performing surgery. You've been working on this guy for like a couple of hours, right? You're getting ready to sew him up.
Where are your scissors?
Right, where are your scissors? Don't you use scissors to cut the thread?
No, I use my switchblade.
you just pull it out, just unsheath your Bowie knife from your bootstrap.
I'm good.
Don't.
No need for proper equipment here.
What are you holding the skin flaps back with, forks?
I just used them for lunch.
Just finished eating some pad thai, and now I'm over here doing surgery.
Yeah, you're lucky there's not a junior mint in there.
Oh, my God. I think a junior mint would cause less damage than a pair of 6-inch scissors.
Could actually save your life. Oh, that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, not good. Ooh. I don't know how scissors, like, oh, man, I don't know. Sharp objects, no thank you.
Yeah.
And then inside of you?
And for that long, too. Like, how did that not, like, cut
something? Like, stab
something
and, yeah, just bad news. Yeah. Bad news.
Well, all right, for the most part here, you know, I think things haven't been that outlandish yet until we get to this story.
That's about to change.
It's going to change right now. Because, you know, obviously, men, you know, they want to, you know, try something new when it comes to the forefront of self-pleasure.
They want to put it in everything.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. This one is no different. I don't know why you choose this object, but this South African man did. He chose a wedding band.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a
weird
one.
How do you even? I don't know.
Well, you're going to find out. This is from episode 186. Take it away. A 28-year-old South African man endured a rare case of penile strangulation.
What?
After he tried to squeeze his wedding ring around his sex organs for erotic reasons.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Why?
I mean, rings, I don't know. Rings are kind of like small.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Now.
It seems like it would be painful.
Of course, for those that know, or for those that don't know, there are sexual rings where they're used to hold blood in the penis to heighten sexual response.
You're having a real tough time reading that paragraph, aren't you? You're like, there's rings and it goes over
there's graphic.
Oh, it's
use.
It's really graphic.
Yeah,
I have to try and tame
it. The point is, there are rings that are used for sexual pleasures.
You put it on your penis,
but not your actual wedding ring to be used as a substitute ring for this matter.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I'm looking at my fingers. Rings, they're not that big. I don't understand. Like look at a ring, and it doesn't seem like it would work.
No, and this
you're just
and,
like no,
no, and this did not work. The ring caused the man's penis to swell up so much that he was unable to remove it.
Oh, no.
And his penis turned blue.
Oh.
That's not a good sign.
No, no.
Mr. Happy should not be turning blue.
No, he should not.
That's not good.
Mr. Happy is sad.
Yeah. Very sad.
Oh.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Like, I it's funny imagining what's going on in his mind. Like, he's looking down, he's going, oh, boy, this is not good. Yeah, like, who do you tell? You're like, well, you know, I put my wedding ring on my, you know, and now it's blue. So
well,
I need help.
Well, guess who he decided to tell?
Who'd he tell?
He decided to tell his own mother, who had to drive him to a local hospital.
Mom?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
How do you explain that one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wait, he has a wedding ring. Where's his wife in all this?
I don't know, but...
why is...
Not there.
He like... I don't know.
At first, doctors...
This is bad.
Yeah. At first, doctors tried to cut the ring off with a surgical saw.
Oh, my God, that's scary.
Which, yeah, that's scary enough.
You have such a slim margin for error there, you know, like one false move.
Yeah. But the attempt failed because the swelling made it difficult to get close to the ring without causing further injury.
Oh my gosh.
That was a failure. Doctors then decided to make multiple puncture aspirations with a syringe and a pink needle, which reduced the swelling. So,
oh my god, that's awful.
Yeah.
They drained it, is what you're saying.
They had to drain the blood out of it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Yeah.
It's actual audio.
It's actual audio from the operating room.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, though, that did the trick. The patient was then given antibiotics and painkillers.
And a larger ring.
Yeah. The medical journal also noted that the best method is the one with a successful outcome because no proper guidelines exist for this kind of condition. So this was obviously new ground we were breaking in the medical field.
So really, he's a trailblazer.
Yeah.
He invented an entire new field of medicine.
Right. How to get a ring off of your
penis.
Yeah. Mr. Happy.
Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy is Mr. Sad now.
Why?
Yeah, it just seems like a bad idea. It seems like a very, very small opening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't stick things inside of you. Don't stick your things inside of things that should not be stuck into.
Well said.
Yes.
Well said, Mike.
Sure.
Boy, man.
Now, speaking of sticking things in places there shouldn't be, this next one from episode 173, I don't even know how. An Indian man had 40 knives removed from his stomach.
He loves those knives.
Yeah. Let's find out just how much he loved them. Again, this is episode 173. Take it away.
Surgeons had to remove metal knives from a patient who spent 2 months swallowing them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
So, was this guy like a performer or was he just eating knives?
The 42-year-old man says that, quote, I had an uncontrollable urge to eat knives.
Why? No, you didn't. Why? There's so many other tastier utensils than knives. Spoons, for instance, they go down real easy. They're not sharp.
He had to go to a hospital.
You're not even going
to
comment on the fact.
Sure. I don't know. He had to go to a hospital in northern India after he complained of stomach pains and weakness. An ultrasound revealed a large mass in his stomach.
Oh, my God.
That was when the man was forced to tell doctors that he had swallowed knives. Ugh. A team of surgeons were astonished when they had discovered he had not only swallowed not one or two... He had swallowed 40 metal knives.
How do you even fit that many knives into your body?
How's that even possible?
That's a lot. Like, knives aren't tiny. Like, they're sizable objects to swallow.
And this guy swallowed 40.
Like, when you think about a knife, like, hold up a knife. You're like, they're pretty big, you know? And he swallowed 40 of them.
Yeah.
And he didn't begin to worry when he swallowed a knife and it never came out.
Oh, yeah, that's not
like,
going to be...
Like, well, this is my 40-something knife, and wow, I haven't pooped out a single one.
Yeah, that's not going to be...
Where are they going? Are they just being absorbed into your body? No! It makes me stronger.
I'm going to turn into Wolverine.
Yeah, maybe that's what he thought. Instead of blades coming out of his hand, blades come out of his ass.
He turns himself into a little circular saw.
Is he like Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah. And the blades come out of his butt.
Hear that, kids? If you want to be like Sonic the Hedgehog, start swallowing knives. Yay! Don't do that.
You're going to turn into Sonic.
That's great. That's great. You need those knives to defeat Dr. Robotnik.
Right. You got to collect all the coins.
All the coins. Don't eat the coins.
Well, why not? You're swallowing the knives. Well, you might as well go all out at this rate.
Eat the coins, eat the Chaos Emeralds, eat everything.
Yeah.
Jeez. God, Sonic is a psychopath. I love this music. It's great. Is this Green Hill Zone 1?
Yeah.
Nice. device.
Wow, nice.
Dude, Sonic.
Yeah.
My entire childhood was Sega Genesis and Sonic.
According to the 42-year-old man, he liked the way knives taste.
No, they taste like metal.
He had a wild urge to consume metal.
Dude could eat other types of metal, I think. Why don't you just lick the knife?
Well, he had to eat it.
That's gross. I can't even imagine, how do you even get that down? I would start gagging and, throwing up, because you have to swallow this whole knife. Were they, the butter knives, or were they, the real sharp steak knives?
Doctors said that they found folded knives, unfolded knives, rusted knives.
What?
And broken knives.
Oh, my God. What was he doing?
Yeah. Why would you eat rusted ones?
Did they rust in his body, or did he wait for them to rust and then he ate them?
No, they were rusted already.
Or did he just find, rusted knives on the side of the street or something? Because it's Indian.
Snack.
Snack, yeah. Oh, my God. So instead of people going up to a food cart and, asking for a hot dog, he goes up to a food cart and say, can I just have your metal tongs over there?
Yeah. Tasty.
Also, the folded knives, what does that mean? Did he fold knives, or they mean a switchblade?
I guess a switchblade. But not the ones that have the lever on it, just the ones that fold it.
Just the one that, so not switchblades, the Swiss Army knives.
Right.
I mean,
Had to go through 5 hours of surgery, but he was treated successfully, and he's going to be discharged in the next few days. But unfortunately, he's going to need to see psychiatrists with his eating obsession, so...
That would be a smart idea, I think.
Yeah, he's not out of the
woods
yet.
In all seriousness, he needs to get some help, because that's just... I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just very strange.
Definitely not out of the woods yet.
No. What is he going to do if he needs to use a knife to eat food?
He's going to eat it all in one bite.
He cuts it and then just stabs it with the knife and just pushes the whole thing into his mouth.
Yum.
Gross.
Oh, man. Again, you think by that time, you think one of them would, puncture out,
Yeah.
part of his stomach at some point.
Those are all like those little butter knives, you know?
It's still
those, fancy. Does still, that even count as a knife?
No, nah, this is a knife. No, nah, but still not good. Not good. And finally, to close out this surgery special, this is one we just love to replay whenever we get a chance to.
This is an oldie, too.
It's an oldie, but a goodie. Simply put, a Chinese man got his penis stuck in the air conditioning unit from episode 66. A Chinese man who got his penis stuck in an air conditioning pipe.
What?
Yep. Laying it all out there in the first sentence.
Wow. An air conditioner. That means he's taking apart the air conditioner. You can't just get to... Okay, so anyway. What happened next?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
A Chinese man who got his penis stuck in an air conditioning pipe waited 2 days before seeking medical attention because he was embarrassed.
Wow. 2 days?
Yep. And even after the fact that he was embarrassed, Mr. Lian Tian told doctors that it was all an accident.
An accident?
Yes.
He just bumped into the air conditioning pipe. What is an air conditioning pipe anyway?
It's apparently something that goes over your Johnson.
I guess so. Accidentally, of course.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Lian Ten kept telling doctors that, quote, he slipped and got himself stuck in the pipe while he was painting in the nude at his house.
So he's... So let me get this straight. Not only was he painting in the nude, but he had a full-on erection, and he slipped, and it just so happened that full-on erection went inside the air conditioning pipe, whatever the hell he was banging at the time.
Yeah.
That is a crazy accident.
Yeah.
Well, checks out. You're free to go.
One in a million, Doc.
One in a million.
Yeah. One in a million.
You're never going to believe this one, Doc.
The 61-year-old admitted that he did not think people would believe him. And
no kidding. Really? What gave that away?
And only went to the hospital after he experienced severe swelling and developed a fever.
That sounds really dangerous.
Yeah. He said, quote,
I thought no one would believe me, and I tried everything I could think of to get the damn thing off once it got stuck. The pipe, I cut it from the wall and tried pouring oil and liquid soap down the sides of it, but it was so tightly wedged that nothing dripped down.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
I thought if I went to sleep, I would relax and it would slide off, but it didn't.
Oh God.
It was then I realized I'm about to get a terrible infection.
Yeah, because his penis is stuck in a pipe.
Yep. Well, guess what?
What?
The doctors were unable to treat Tien.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apparently, their tools weren't strong enough for the pipe.
Oh, what did they have to do?
They had to call in the fire brigade.
Oh, my gosh. Please tell me they got him out, though.
The fire brigade had to use their tools, and it took 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Before they were finally able to remove the air conditioning pipe from Tien's genitals.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
They were saying that for
4 hours.
4 hours, yeah.
4 hours. And he
just don't have sex with air conditioners. It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't even...
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Really? Who looks at an air conditioner and says, you know what? I'm going to have sex with that thing. Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah.
Does he not see all the holes in his story? He claims he slipped and he accidentally had sex with this pipe. But then he said that he had to cut it out of the wall. I don't understand. How do you get to the air conditioning pipes in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, he had to renovate his home to actually get to it, right?
He cut the pipe out first and then decided to
paint. And then he slipped into it.
And then he slipped into it.
All while in the nude.
All while in the nude.
I'm going to get my power tools out, but first, I got to take the pants off.
Yep.
Gotta and I like free. To paint with it. I'm not going to say this stuff because you're going to turn it into clips. Oh, my gosh.
No, what are you about to say?
I was going
to
say, he's like, I got to take the pants off and you know, I got to paint with this rock hard erection. Maybe he was painting with his penis. And he slipped and that's how it happened.
His penis was doing more painting than him.
I guess. This is just the most ridiculous story.
Oh,
watch it be true, though.
No, I
watch
can't.
It be he actually slipped. The poor guy, he's just trying to tell the truth, and nobody believes him. That's what it is.
I don't believe him.
No, neither do I.
Again, that is just one of our favorite odd news stories right there.
Yeah.
That goes in my top 10 of just odd news stories we've covered here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Because it's so weird. It's like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I think I have an idea how it happened.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean.
it should have happened? No.
No. Not at all. Not at all. Again, only stick things in the proper receptacles.
Yeah. But there you go. That is our wrap up of our surgery special for the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week.
Put me right at ease.
Yeah, Mike, you'll sleep well tonight. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. is that pointy thing? Oh, my God. Is that a scissor?
You'll be fine. Just wait 18 years. You'll be fine.
Yeah, just 18 years. Yeah. I have 18 long years ahead of me before I need to get it taken out.
Right. But while Mike sleeps soundly tonight, we have to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to our iTunes feed or our Stitcher feed. Make sure you visit our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Search The Crispy Noodle. You can follow us at Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And you can follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast. All the channels there. Woo!
That's right. You forgot one, though. Make sure to also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos,
right,
YouTube, best bits, and a whole lot more. And like Rich pointed out, make sure you subscribe to those podcast feeds on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episode downloaded for free every Thursday. So search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. Make sure you realize it's every Thursday. We always try and put together a great episode for you. You know what? Mike's coming back on the mend, so I think it'll be safe to say that we're going to be back in action.
Oh, yeah.
With the regular updates. Well, we have to be. The NFL season is in full swing, right,
Absolutely.
Mike?
Absolutely. We got to talk about the Eagles' first game.
That's right.
And new odd news. Oh, man. I'm going to probably have a Spider-Man review. Oh, next week is going to be so good, guys. you have to subscribe right now.
Yes.
Do it right now.
Right now.
Yes. Good. I could hear them clicking the buttons from here, Rich.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's
our
what
job
I want
here
to
is done.
Yes. it is, to say the least, as we wrap up this week's episode. So, yeah, make sure you follow us on all the channels. But most importantly, yes, as Mike said, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, however you like to do it, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or just visiting the website. No matter how you do it, new podcast every Thursday. Check it out.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter. But that will wrap this week's episode up. Thank you for listening. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.